I want to say something about the importance of the number seven. And I'd like you to ask yourself this question. Why is a week made up of 7 days? Why is it not 5 days or 6 days or 8 days or 10 days, for example? Why is the week which we use, why is it made up of 7 days? And ladies and gentlemen, it is not that countries haven't experimented with other periods. For example, in 1793, the French Republic adopted a 10-day week. But just 8 years later, in 1801, it reverted to a 7-day week. The Soviet Union in 1929 adopted a 5-day week. Later again, it adopted a 6-day week. But then in 1940, it reverted again to a 7-day week. So we pose this question. Why 7 days? And you know, ladies and gentlemen, a 7-day week is almost universal around the world. A 7-day week is the ISO standard, and the ISO are the initials of the International Standards Organization. It is an organization which sets out standards for member countries on a whole range of subjects. It was formed in 1947. It has 159 member countries. In other words, nearly every country in the world subscribes to the standards of the International Standards Organization. Its headquarters is in Geneva in Switzerland. And a 7-day week is the international standard specified in ISO document 8601. But again, ladies and gentlemen, we ask the question, but why 7 days? And the answer is because from the beginning of human existence, God established time cycles based on the number 7. 7 days is the weekly time period set out in the Bible in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. A 7-day week is the divine time cycle. And what you'll find as you study your Bible is that 7 is a very important number biblically. Let's go back to Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In verse 5, for example, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You see, the creation week comprised 7 days of 24 hours made up of evening, that is darkness, and morning, that is light. In God's scheme of things, a day starts with 12 hours of darkness followed by 12 hours of light, and that's why you get that expression. The evening and the morning were the first day, as we have just read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. But come down to verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then, as the record goes on, we come to the seventh day of rest in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which he had created and made. So you see, a seven-day week, that is 6 days of toil, followed by one day of rest, became the basis of life on earth as established by God from the beginning of human existence 6,000 years ago. Now, when God took his people, that is the Jewish people, out of Egypt, when they came out in the Exodus, God commanded them to observe a seven-day week. So if you come to the next book in the Bible, if you come to Exodus and the 20th chapter, there we read, commencing in verse 8, Exodus 20 and verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in it thou shalt not do any work, neither thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all in them that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And so the conclusion, the only conclusion which we can reach, ladies and gentlemen, is that seven is an important number in God's time cycles. Seven is an important number in God's time cycles. Now let's expand our exposition of the number seven in time periods. And we're going to go now from days to years, all right? Because what you'll find is that God didn't only command Israel to keep a seven-day week, but God had laws concerning 7 years as well. So let's have a look. Let's come to Leviticus. Let's come to chapter 25. And this is what we read. Leviticus 25 and verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beast that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat." Now, what verses 5, 6 and 7 mean is that the farmer could not work or crop his land during the seventh year. But what grew naturally on his land of its own accord was available to him, his family, his servants and his animals for sustenance on a needs basis during that seventh year. So you see, There were not just 7 day time cycles, but 7 year time cycles as well. And in the Bible, what we find is that there are even longer time cycles. You see, ladies and gentlemen, because we are finite, because we only live 70 or 80 years, we tend to think in terms of days, of weeks, of months and of years, and perhaps of decades, perhaps of centuries. But God, who is infinite, that is, eternal and everlasting, also thinks and works in much longer time frames. He works in time frames of thousands of years. So you'll come with me to the New Testament, the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3 and verse 8, we read this. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is for the Lord as a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In other words, what we would see as one day, so far as God is concerned, it's just like 1,000 years, all right? Because he is infinite while we are finite. So what we find is this. There are various time periods based on the number 7 used in the Bible. There are days, there are weeks, there are months, there are decades, there are years, there are millenniums. And we can have a little summary. We're not going to go through all the verses which are on the screen, but here's a little summary of the sevens in the Bible. So we have the week, a week of 7 days, and we've looked at that, haven't we, in the opening chapters of Genesis. And that's God's, number 7 is God's basic time cycle. 6 days of toil, followed by a Sabbath of rest. But when you go through the Bible, you'll find that there is a week of weeks, that is, 7 by 7 days, 49 days. And that was the time period under the law of Moses between the Feast of First Fruits and the Feast of Pentecost. And there are other references on the in the right-hand column. 7 by 7, 49 days. But we also find in the Bible a week of months. That is, 7 by 1 month, or 7 months. And you know, the first 7 months of the Jewish religious year contain all 7 of the Jewish feasts. All 7 of them. And then we can have a week of years, that is, 7 years. And so as we read in Leviticus 25, the Israelites were commanded to work the land for 6 years, and then give the land a Sabbath rest every 7th year. Or we can have a week of weeks of years, that is 7 by 7 years, or 49 years. And this is the time, the period of time between each celebration of the year of Jubilee every 50 years. So between the Jubilee years, of which occurred every 50th year, there was this period of 7 by 7, this period of 49 years. Here we have in example 6, a week of decades, that is 7 by 10 years. And 70 years is the lifespan allotted to man, as set out in Psalm 90 and verse 10. Or we can have a week of weeks of decades, that is 7 by 7 by 10, or 7 by 70 years, that is 490 years. And this was the period of time revealed to the prophet Daniel, which would culminate in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Daniel was given a start point and told that 7 by 70, 490 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ would not only be born, but in that 490th year, he would be crucified. And we can have as an 8th example, a week of millenniums, that is 7,000 years, 7 by 1,000. And the seventh millennium will see the culmination of God's plan to convert the earth into his everlasting kingdom. That's what it will do. Now, if you just come across to Revelation chapter 20, you get an inkling concerning this. But in Revelation 20 and verse 4, we read this, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were headed for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor received his mark in their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Come down to verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now this is the seventh millennium. We've just read it in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. They reign with Christ 1,000 years. So here, set out in a diagram, is God's 7,000-year plan.